evening.
Good evening.
If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll meet you there in just a moment. I'd like to read something. It's three stanzas of a poem by Dylan Thomas. It's not the full poem. The full poem is six stanzas. I'll read the first three. It says, "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage. Rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay, they rage. Rage against the dying of the light." Dylan Thomas, as you can see from the first three stanzas of that poem, you can very clearly see his perspective of death. His perspective of death was, death is the moment where achievement is no longer possible. At the moment death takes place, that's the point in time where I'm no longer able to do anything. I can't do any more good for society. I can't change my family members. I can't change myself. I can't grow anymore. And this bothered him. It didn't only bother him. He looked to his own mortality with resentment and grief and even anger, as you can see in that last line, rage against the dying of the light. And what he essentially does in this poem is he calls his readers to respond in the same way, to essentially wrestle against their own mortality for as long as they can, to live as long as possible, and then when that moment finally comes where death comes to my door, to wave my fist in death's face, to resent death, to be angry about it, to resent it. Now in 2 Timothy 4, begin with me in verse 6. And don't only listen to the words that Paul writes, but listen to the feeling of these three verses. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I read that, and I don't get the sense that Paul raged against the dying of the light. Do you notice that? I'd never noticed that first phrase there in verse 6 before. I've read this passage I don't know how many times, but he says, "I am now ready. I'm ready." It's not something I resent. I know my death is coming, and if historical records are accurate, he would be executed not long after this was written. But he wasn't upset. He wasn't grieving. He wasn't resentful or angry, and he wasn't raging against the dying of the light. In fact, I think that the evidence actually points to the contrary. I think it suggests that he was looking forward to something beyond death. I don't think anyone looks forward to death itself, but looking forward to something beyond death, I think we can very comfortably say that Paul was doing. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. There are many statements that Paul makes throughout his ministry that allude to this kind of theme, this point. But 2 Corinthians 5 is probably my favorite. Begin with me in verse 6. We'll read down through verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning verse 6. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." What are the two options? I can be in the body, or I can be with the Lord. And which does Paul say is better? Be with the Lord. What does that demand? If the Lord tarries, that demands that death takes place. He wasn't raging against the dying of the light. He was looking forward to something beyond death. And in fact, I think we can go so far as to suggest that Paul looked back on his life as having been successful. That was really the whole point. I don't get the sense from Thomas's poem that he's an agnostic and that he's resenting death because, you know, he doesn't think he's going to exist anymore. In fact, his motives are probably pretty noble. I get the sense from the poem that he's not able to do good anymore. He's not able to make contributions, to grow, and to help people, and that bothers him. But even with that, I still don't get that sense from Paul. You notice what he says there in verse 7 back in 2 Timothy 4? I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I want to keep fighting the good fight. He doesn't say, I want to keep running the course. He doesn't say, I want to keep the faith for 5 or 10 more years. He says, I've already done those things. Let me ask you a question. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Let me ask it another way. What is the whole of man? Someone tell me, what is the whole of man? To fear God and to keep His commandments. It's very, very easy for me to personally see my purpose to be intertwined with the career that I want. And I know as college kids, you know, we spend 16 to 18 hours a week. That's our focus. You know, that's the homework that we do. That's our test. That's our goal. That's our focus. We study and we work and we push so that we can have a career, and that career becomes our identity. But that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that my purpose is not to study physics. It's not to study math. It's not to get good grades. It's to fear God and to keep His commandments. And if I get to the end of my life and I've flunked out of school and I don't have a lot of money in the bank and things as a general whole didn't go so well for me financially, but I'm able to look back and I'm able to say, you know what? I made my mistakes and I had a lot of growing to do when I first started. But as a general rule, throughout my life, I feared God and kept His commandments. I don't think I'm going to have any regrets. I don't think I'm going to resent death. I don't think I'm going to look back and be dissatisfied or wish I could change things too much. That's something else I don't see from Paul. He doesn't talk about all the things he wishes that he could change about his life. He simply says, I've finished. I've done what I came to do. My purpose was to fear God and to keep His commandments, and I finished. That's exactly what I did. I think it's interesting that Paul was able to look back on his life with satisfaction. He looked to his coming death with peace, and he looked to meeting the Lord with anticipation. I don't know what your perspective of death is, but if we're in Christ, the message I want us to take away from this evening is this. The best is always yet to be for the Christian. Right. If I'm faithful, if I'm walking in the light, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, the best is always yet to be. But there's a flip side to that. Right. If I'm walking in darkness, if I'm not a part of God's family, or if I am a part of God's family, but I'm out in the world doing my own thing, I have to come to the haunting realization that the best I have is right now. That scares the daylights out of me.
Man.
That the best is right now. And that's all I have. Everything good that will happen in my existence, if I'm walking in darkness, will only take place in this life. But for the Christian, the best is always yet to be. So we don't have to rage against the dying of light. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to resent it or to rage against the dying of the light, as the poem goes. We can have peace when that day comes. We can have satisfaction looking back across our lives. And we can even anticipate that time when we meet the Lord. But in order for that to take place, we have to be washed in the blood of Jesus. There's no plan B. There's no second option. There's no slipping in the back door. If I'm not washed, if I'm not in contact with the blood of Jesus, then that's not going to happen. That's impossible. It's not going to take place for anyone in any circumstance. If any sin in my life has not been taken care of, if I'm walking in darkness, I'll lose my soul. So the question is, how do I come into contact with that blood? That's the entire point of the Bible. That's the point. That's the underline it, circle it, highlight it, whatever you have to do. That's everything. That's the entire point of this book, is God forming a relationship with His people. And the way that we do that is by hearing the gospel preached, by believing the things that we've heard, and then by coming into contact with that standard and seeing those points where I don't quite match up. That's going to convict me of sin. That's going to show me where I'm not quite meeting the standard, and that's going to help me get back in line with where I need to be. That's called repentance. After I repent, it's at that point in time that I should be of such a mind that I realize that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God, and I should be willing to confess that to people who are around me with my mouth. And not only once, not only at my baptism, but as a general rule in my life, that should be something I'm willing and eager to confess. And then finally, that final act of baptism where we come into contact with that blood, our sins are washed away, and we come up and all of a sudden we have a new perspective on life. We no longer have to be racked with fear or guilt or resentment or some level of dissatisfaction with the things that we've done in the past. We can have that new lease on life that sometimes people look for. If you're here and you've gone back into the world, you've lost your hope. You've lost your motivation. You've lost your purpose. And I think for the person who never knew the truth and is lost, that's going to be awful. And I can't imagine that. But to know the truth and then for me to leave it, I think will be infinitely worse. Because I had accessed it, I knew it, and I understood it, and I had to come into contact with it. And it was real, and it was a part of my life. But then I left, and I knew what was at stake, but I left. If you're here this evening and you have a need and you realize that you're not in line with the standard, we all have those points in our lives. If you've made a mistake, well, we haven't, but we're here to help you. We've all made mistakes. We've all been there, and we want to help you get back on track, and we want you to help us do the same. So if you're here this evening and you're not quite where you need to be, we want you to have peace. We want you to be able to sleep at night. And if you have that need, please let that be known as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.